Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online. On Wednesdays.
Excellent.
You can listen to us on the radio in the morning, and if you miss the morning show, you can get us in the evening.
Excellent.
So on this show, we talk about books.
Yeah.
And television shows.
Mostly, yeah.
And niche movies.
Exactly.
No, that's a lie. We talk about video games.
Okay.
I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
And that's what we do. We sometimes play video games.
Yes.
And what have you been playing over the past week, Alice?
A couple games. What have you been playing?
I have been into Final Fantasy. In particular, Final Fantasy 15.
Okay, yeah.
So it's, we got it with our PlayStation Plus.
Oh, okay, yes, yeah. And it's like the Royal Edition, so it comes with
a whole bunch of the downloadables.
Well, so like in like costumes and weapons and stuff, is that what you got?
I think there's an amount of like extra XP I get.
Oh.
There's,
well, okay.
It makes the game a little easier.
Yeah, for sure. Like and for that game, like Final Fantasy games are like a minimum 40 hours, right? Like that's how I feel about them. So I would want to make it, and not to say that I hate Final Fantasy games, but I would try to make it shorter than it needs to be. Like this is maybe not 40 hours, but it's a long game.
It's a long game. I've barely scraped about 13% of it so far as I know. I have finished all my Chocobo quests as far as I can, and yes, now I can finally name and recolor and accessorize my Chocobos.
You own a Chocobo now instead of renting them?
I can't own. I can only rent.
Whoa, that's rude.
For now, so far as I know.
Okay.
I'm trying not to spoil this game for me. And, well, I will once I give up at the 20-hour mark.
What? Spoil it for
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Just finish the game.
Okay, well, I'm still going to chip away at the game. I have a Chocobo. I named him Baxter.
Okay.
He's purple. He's awesome.
Okay.
I'm really, really enjoying this game so far. It's very
okay.
easy to get into.
What is the game about other than chocobos? And what are chocobos for people who don't know what chocobos are?
Chocobos are giant rideable chickens.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. They go kwe.
Kwe, yeah. And if you bring your stats up on your giant chicken, you get to, it says, congratulations.
Oh, it was, oh. Yeah, okay.
You can
sure.
race them. That's the only reason I'm playing this game at this point
yeah.
is because...
The racing's probably fun. Maybe. I don't know. Well, maybe as long as you get to race and not just be like, I bet on this one to race.
This might make us get Chocobo GP, even though it's not the same racing at all. But they
no.
are pretty cute, and I like them.
You like Chocobo? Yeah, no, well, I was like, those aren't... It's not going to be the same at
it's
all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I know, but... So, the story... So far, is you are playing as Prince Noctis, who has been sent out to go and marry your longtime fiance, Oracle Lunafreya. Princess Lunafreya? Yes, Princess Lunafreya. And you have your three best friends, and it's a road trip. Right now, it is just a road trip.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get to the third chapter, where I'm at now, we've got some actual plot going on. Your kingdom has been attacked. Your father has been slain, and it's up to you to figure out what the heck has happened.
Okay.
So, the gameplay is very similar to Final Fantasy VII. You go out, and you can just swing...
Stop yourself there. Final Fantasy VII...
Sorry, Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
I apologize. I did not play an earlier Final Fantasy
I was like, because,
VII version.
Because
I apologize.
This is like a quote-unquote open world Final Fantasy, right?
Yeah, like...
To an extent.
I have found the walls. I've tried to breach the walls, and I can't do it.
Okay,
but
so
that's
it's
just
not
me.
Open world.
It's not exactly.
Sandbox.
More or less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And then there's monsters that just randomly... spawn or just wandering around, right?
Yeah, you can go out and hunt. The monsters you take down give you XP and food because there is a cooking mechanic. Ignis, one of your best friends, can learn different dishes as you go along.
Does it not, like, give you stat boosts and stuff?
They do. And yeah. if you cook your favorite foods, because everybody has their favorite foods, you Nerds. Get more stuff. Prompto, your blonde friend, takes pictures as you go along, so you can get pictures of your adventures. Most of them end up being pictures of bushes and you getting violently attacked by monsters.
It's like a lot of motion blur, like awkward blurs and like out of focus. I personally like think that's kind of one of the cutest parts because it feels pretty genuine a little bit, like that your person, he tries his best, but he's really not a good photographer. No,
a lot of them are selfies of him with his peace sign up when you're in non-violent situations. So yeah, it's mostly selfies and blurry shots. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So you level up with them, you go find camping spots, you level up that way. In previous Final Fantasies, you have access to magical powers. In this one, you do have that access, but you have to craft how many you can use. And you have to get the elements either at campsites or by getting them from monsters. They don't just... Your MP, your magic points, just aren't there automatically. So it's a slightly different mechanic that way.
Okay.
It's a game that was made for first-timers to the Final Fantasy series. That is how it introduces itself for new and old fans.
That makes sense.
It's a very easy game to get into. I am having a lot of fun, and I think I will put in the 40 hours, and I'll take breaks so I can play other games, so I'm not just reporting on Final Fantasy for the next year.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is what I have been spending my last couple weeks doing.
Yes, chipping away.
Chipping away, and I did actually play another game.
What game?
I played Return of the Phantom.
Oh, right. You're so excited to talk about this.
I am pretty excited to talk about this, because this was the one point and click that I did play as a kid. It's the only one we own for a very old PC.
Yeah.
That we got in 95.
Okay.
Computers existed back then.
Oh, yeah.
And back then, games ran on MS-DOS.
Yeah.
MS-DOS games were... Well, that was kind of the peak of game performance for some people, right? Like, you can get 8-bit, better sound. I think Doom was a DOS game, was it not?
I don't... I would never have been allowed to play Doom as a child. Like, I was barely allowed to play the games I was as a child, so... And Doom had blood in it, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I've never played, no.
There was blood mods.
Yeah.
And if you got the German version, the blood was green.
Yeah.
Because they didn't allow blood graphics in certain areas of Europe.
Excellent.
That's your little fact of the day.
Yeah.
So this is a game from 1993 that was designed and written by Matt Grusin and James Bond novelist Raymond Benson. So this is a James Bond writer that did this one.
Okay.
It was developed by Microprose, who was the studio behind XCOM and Civilization. So Sid Meier did have a hand in this as well, with some of the design. And the plot is as follows. It's pretty much Phantom of the Opera, but in the future. Well, in modern age of 1993.
Yeah, it was like in the future.
Sorry.
So
the Palais Garnier is putting on the world premiere of Don Juan Triumphant when a massive chandelier falls into the audience and injures and kills several people.
Oh.
You, Detective Raoul Montand, must get to the bottom of the attack.
Oh.
During your investigation, you find yourself in pursuit of the Phantom, the entity who supposedly haunts the theater after disappearing for a century.
Okay.
So that's my dramatic reading of the plot right there.
All
right.
And it's sort of your very typical and click.
You go find clues, pick up items as you can go, explore the theater, figure out how to get to the backstage of the theater, which was a thing that kept me busy for about an hour because I'm not good at point and clicks.
Oh, my God.
And this had a whopping 2 difficulties.
Oh, Megan.
Easy and difficult.
I mean,
I chose easy.
Yeah, it was still hard, huh?
It's for me, yes.
I mean, somewhat, yeah.
some things just aren't obvious. Yeah. Such as moving the stairs into the hole.
Point and clicks can be very difficult, finicky, annoying, lots of things.
Yes, and I have a much better functioning computer this time around with a mouse that I don't have to clean the trackball on.
Oh.
So this is a realistic quote-unquote game, so they used a lot of rotoscoping and a lot of for the animation, so it's a very smooth but slow animation.
Yeah, I bet that it doesn't look the best, does it?
Actually, it looks not bad. Like, wow. It's still an 8-bit, 256-color game. But they did a lot with the making the theater look lush and making it look as nice as they could for 1993.
Beautiful.
And they did have a live-action clip. I'm not going to tell you when and where. But you get full view of the actors' faces. It's an experience of 1993.
Sounds kind
of
bad.
But this is also when they re-released this game, they did have full voice acting, which was very nice.
Oh, yeah, that is nice. I do appreciate that, especially for older point and clicks.
Yeah.
Just adds a lot.
Well, you remember the first two Monkey Islands had no voice acting or very minimal voice acting.
No, and yeah. Well, and I will say, I think his name is Dominic. I don't remember the last name. It's not Purcell, that's a different guy. But he really gave a voice to Guybrush that was pretty spot on. Like, it just worked too well. And yeah, when they did the remasters, they went back and, yeah. Fixed, well, she added it, which was really nice. They voiced everything. It's quite good.
I won't say the voice acting's great. It's a little cheesy, but it's still... It could have been worse. It definitely could have been.
Sure. Good, 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 yes.
You know what? I'm playing this because it was a cheesy game. I was entertained by it.
You're playing it for, the nostalgia value, right?
But I still had fun as a 30-some-year-old person.
Okay.
But the music was really good. I actually did like the music that they used a lot. It's very Bach-inspired, and it does get stuck in your head after a while.
Oh, huh.
So this game is available on Steam for a whopping $7.
Wow.
As is the other two point-and-click microprose games. So I may check out Dragon Sphere just for the... Because I like a fantasy. I like a corny fantasy. So I may check it out. And I know that's on sale for a whopping $2.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. So that is Return of the Phantom by Microprose. If you like your retro point and clicks and you just want a cheesy game to play...
Yeah.
Go and check it out. I still think it's worth it.
Sure, Megan. Nostalgia does stuff.
You know what? I'll let you pick out my next point-and-click game, because I'm sure you have a much more...
Monkey Island. Just play Monkey Island.
I did play Monkey Island. Okay, I'll play the first two Monkey Islands.
Yeah.
Okay. So what games have you been up to with? Look, I play video games. I don't write.
Yeah, I don't speak. I've played a couple games, beat a couple games. The one that I think I've talked about it before because it wasn't fully out at the time. It's called The Dream Machine, and it is actually a point and click, but it's a fully clay stop motion video game. Like, how do I explain that better? It's everything is handmade, it's not digitally made. It's all photographed pieces that they've all sort of stop motioned together to make a video game.
I feel like I remember you describing this to me, and it was very clay based.
Yeah, it's clay. It's mostly clay. You take the role on a Victor. I forget his last name. You've moved into a new apartment with your pregnant wife. And you have a weird dream about yourself on an island and you're alone and you sort of talk to your wife about that, wake up, and later you find that there's a camera behind the painting in your room and that's been watching you. And it sort of leads to you finding out that the guy in your basement or the basement, well, like the owner of the apartment, whatever,
landlord?
Question mark?
Tenant I don't know. Keeper?
Yeah, whatever. He is watching everybody, and there's some kind of giant machine that's controlling everybody and doing something to do with dreams. That's why it's called the Dream Machine. I started playing it, I think, when the first three episodes were out. And this is 3 out of 6. So I had got to the, like, I had beat the third, I believe. And maybe even I got to the fourth. But, yeah, I'd never played past that. And it was a couple of years. So finally, I actually, and it took me a while to get it to work on my computer. I don't know why it took so long, but it just took so long. Anyway, got it to work, happy. I beat it. It was okay. I think visually is what sets it apart from other games. Because it is all stop motion. It all is all clay made. It's quite neat looking.
How's the gameplay of it?
It's slow and wordy. And there are, it does follow the trope of the point and click, where there isn't a lot that, sometimes it's not a lot explained what you have to do.
Right.
And you'll be like, you know, rubber chicken pulley situation.
Right, yeah. That's a Monkey Island thing.
And here's the thing, the rubber chicken with your pulley, because it's something that you look at and you're like, what would I use this for?
Right.
There is actually a very good use for it in the game, and it's a very useful item. But it's sort of, you pick it up and you're like, why would I use this? So there's a lot of that. You can't really look at your inventory. Like it is very cool. Like, I like how it looks. But it's, and I don't know. I play a lot of these games that are just sort of like, I like them because they're visually interesting. It's like how I used to choose books and book covers, right? I'm like, oh, pretty book cover. And then the inside isn't like what I thought it would be. And I'm like, oh.
You're allowed to judge books by their covers, I do that, but you may not get a good book.
Yeah, so another game I played. So Dream Machine's fine. I think if you're interested in point and click, it's quite decent. Not my fave. The other one I played was called The Wild Eternal, and it was fine. It's one of those, because I categorize it similarly to something like, and it had a little bit more than something like The First Tree or even Lost Ember, but I categorize it in that sort of walking spirit category, you know what I mean?
The cathartic walking game.
Yeah, and granted, this game has a little bit more to it, so you take the role, I forget her name, but whatever. You're an older lady and you are trying to escape the cycle of rebirth. And then there's this fox who talks to you and sort of leads you in the way. I will say the fox does look kind of scary. And I was like, it wasn't something necessarily I wanted to talk to. But it's sort of, you are sort of on, you know, a quest of self-reflection. You have to collect these tears to open up new areas. There are things like, there are things that I like about this game, because it was like, you are an older person, so you can't run at first. You can't really, like, you can't fall down steep steps without dying. You can't go through thorns. You have to find offerings and put them at these shrines, and the shrines will grant you different offerings of your choosing, which means, like, maybe you can run. Maybe you can, give fruit to animals. Like, because the arthritis in your wrists is, that's what sort of, which I kind of like. I'm like, oh, the arthritis in your wrists or your eyes are cleared up so you can see further and hear better.
See, it's neat to have an older protagonist, because there aren't very many games out there that
But, unless you know the button that it never explains in the video game, this button. I looked at like a walkthrough because I was slightly stuck. There's a button that you can use to sit, which will let you see the character, because otherwise it's a first-person view, always. Okay. So you can never see her, and you never really know what she looks like, unless you know to press the Z button to sit down, and it will show you, like, a third-person perspective of you sitting down. And then you can see your actual character model. Otherwise, you wouldn't know. Obviously, by, like, the talking and context clues, you can get that you're an older person.
Right.
But you wouldn't really know. Like, it took me a while. I was like, I don't know why I can't run. I don't know why I can't do this. Like, it's... There are things that I liked about it. It was a little more, quote-unquote, challenging. There is an aspect that I hated, which was, like, there are things that can kill you. There's a scary deer with human face that I thought were good. Because I was like, oh, deer. And then I saw that they had human faces. And I'm like, oh, they're going to. Because I had already encountered a lion and a tiger that had both murdered me. And basically what happens is once they maul you or they take away your stamina / health, you just sort of plop up randomly somewhere. And you've lost all your items, which includes usually a compass and fruit that ups your stamina. Because you are slow regardless of how much stamina you have. You do find other compasses. You can find your bag again. But it's like, at certain points, I was just like, I lost my bag. It's gone forever. I don't have a compass. I'm just going to keep going. There was an amount of where I could figure out where I was going because I'm pretty decent at navigating in video games without a map.
Right.
But this is a little bit of a maze. There is no real map. Like, there's no map. You only have the compass. You have some waystones. You can have more sort of like waypoints in your compass to find other things. But ultimately, it was kind of like, you know, I spent a large time wandering around because not only is it a big area, but also like you go slow. Like, you only have so much stamina. And then once your stamina runs out, you run very slow. It was a bit of a slog. I beat it.
This is a 3D situation?
Yeah. Like, I can appreciate parts of it because it's obviously, like, a, like, culture mythology that I'm not really, like, aware of. But at the same time, I'm not 100% if any of this is, like, legit or if it was just made up for this. It was fine.
So what was the name of this game again?
Eternal Tree? No. The Wild Eternal. Getting the first tree in the Wild Eternal. Yeah.
It sounds pretty neat despite the flaws that it does have.
Yeah, like there are things that I think would be more enjoyable out of it, even if I just had unlimited run speed, just so I could do things a little bit more. I'm fine with sliding down, like being careful, but I would just like to be able to run, especially because, like, lots of times, that's how I got killed by, like, a tiger or a lion.
Or a human-faced deer.
I never got killed by a human-faced deer because I knew better after being murdered by a tiger and lion. I was like, I saw the deer and I was like, deer, nice. Because there's rats in this game, and if you give the rats fruit, they will show you stuff sometimes. It's pretty cute.
Okay.
There's vultures, which they just don't want to have anything to do with you. They won't attack you or anything. So they're nice animals, quote unquote. So I thought the deer were going to be nice and not try to kill me. But then I realized that human faces and they were sort of like menacingly hopping towards me. So I was like, I should probably go before I get murdered again and lose my bag and then put somewhere else on the opposite side of the map.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of a human-faced deer.
I saw them once, and I was like, well, I will just avoid this area. I think I like, because I've seen the tiger and the lion quite a bit, because I knew where they were and I could avoid them. But yeah, I saw the deer once, and I was like, well, I don't think I'll ever have to come back here. There are other things, like there's another monster, and it was kind of neat because it was one of those things that you could only sort of see her if you weren't quite looking at her.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were looking straight on, she'd be invisible. I never really encountered her because I assumed that she would hurt me. But there was nothing really said about it. You know, there wasn't anything like, watch out, there's this floating lady down the streets. Be careful.
She's just an entity that just lurks?
Yeah, and I didn't know whether to... Once again, I was hesitant to die because of how annoying the dying mechanic is. So I was like, I'll just leave. And so the last thing I thought I could like touch on a little bit is that I've played about an hour and a bit of Deathloop. And it's great. I'm enjoying it. I played Dishonored and Dishonored 2. I thought they were fine. There's a lot, like, and even with the PlayStation 5 controller, there's so much more feedback with the controller. And it's just, it's very cool. It adds a lot to the gameplay. It's just really neat. I don't know much so far, but I enjoy the main character. There's a lot of, like, he talks to himself quite a bit, which is nice for, you know, obviously, exposition-wise. It is nice because you are dropped into a situation where you don't really know what's happening. He has amnesia, so you get to learn as he learns. And which I also like because everybody else in the story knows what's going on except for you. And I like that kind of aspect. And he is sort of very sincere and he doesn't know what's going on. So, you know, people are trying to kill him and he's like, oh. But yeah, I like it so far. The gameplay is interesting. I haven't really died a lot to see how the mechanics work that way. But yeah.
I'm excited to try it out when you're done playing it.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff.
Anyway, that's everything we got for you for this week. Go and check out some good old point and clicks. I'll let Alice pick out my next point and click adventure.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Keep changing.